the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Untie him and let him go. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today's readings come from our funeral liturgy, and I've preached on them many times. I'm not preaching on the readings today. Instead of doing a homily, I'm doing a sermon. I'm preaching on the Feast of All Saints, because it's what separates us from a lot of Christians in this world. We make a baptismal covenant, and in that covenant, we affirm what is called the Apostles' Creed. What we declare is faith in the Father and the Son, and that gets a lot of focus. And most of us, I could ask you, how does that live out? And you could answer. But the last part is a little different. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Well, following you or me around, what exactly does that look like? What exactly does that look like? And I'll tell you what it looks like, celebrating a feast called All Saints Day. This church is called St. Andrew's. We ask him to be our patron. In our church, we believe that we can interact with the saints. I have personally met someone who talked to the Virgin Mary in Medjugorje. It wasn't a local person. And I know many stories of places where people have community with those who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith. And I choose with the Holy Catholic Church to believe that the relationships continue with those who have gone before us and who have died. I believe that the work of the Holy Spirit in us, in people like us around the world, is what it means to be the Holy Catholic Church in the communion of saints, and that we, like them, are in fellowship with one another. Now, when I ask people in this church, are you a saint? My typical response is, well, I'm not a saint, which literally means I plan on going to hell because I want to go to hell. Sounds fun down in hell, right? Because you don't have to do all this church stuff. It's a lot of hard work to do church stuff, so I'm going to go to hell. We have a technical term for that in theology. It's called a dumb decision. It's a dumb decision. We're all saints. And if you're not a saint, become a saint. Become a saint. A saint is a sinner who is forgiven. A saint is a sinner who lives in that forgiveness. A saint is a mortal who knows they're going to die and doesn't pretend they're not going to die and doesn't fear it. Fear not. Be faithful unto death. You shall receive a crown of life. We are called to become what they are. Now, if you don't go to this church regularly, I assure you, Bible study is really important here. We do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We gather each morning to read from the Bible in morning prayer. On Tuesdays, we gather to read from the Bible. Each Saturday and each Sunday, we gather to read from the Bible together. And probably the thing I say most in my sermons is, read the Bible. The problem with reading the Bible, of course, is it's hard to understand because it's written in ancient insights, and it talks about things that we're not necessarily familiar with. And so I tell you, when you're reading the Bible, get a commentary. Get a commentary. That's what I do. All this amazing stuff I know, I didn't know before I preached. I had to read it from a book. I mean, I learned this stuff. And that's what commentaries are for. But I think the best commentary you can find is the life or the writings of a saint. Someone who's really close to Christ is a better option for understanding the meaning of the scriptures. And here's what I mean. We're called to be evangelists. So there's a fellow by the name of St. Patrick, who Satan has convinced the secular culture is in charge of green beer. Right? Let's get drunk. It's St. Patrick's feast day. And that's what happens. And we as Christians allow it to happen because, well, we don't want to be, you know, look like we're really saints or religious or something. But here's the story of St. Patrick. He was kidnapped by pagans who were pretty cruel people. And he was thrown out in the middle of nowhere by himself to tend the flocks, because that's what slaves do. And out there in the wilderness, sleeping, I mean, it's probably weather like this, if you've been in Ireland, you know, with what, I don't know, limited clothing. I'm freezing today. And he was out in that 24/7 talking to God. And he wasn't an especially pious kid when they kidnapped him. But he opened his heart to God, and one day God said to him, I have a boat waiting for you, leave. So he walked across Ireland, which is not really a huge place, but it's a long walk. And when you have one of those haircuts that says, I'm a runaway slave, it's tough to pull off. Yet somehow he walked across Ireland, got on the boat, and sailed home. And as a middle-aged man, he went back to preach the gospel to those pagans. And the way he did it was he set up a community where they healed people and they prayed and people were kind to one another and they loved children and they loved each other. And the people in the village said, what's going on over there? And that's the model of church which I operate from. And that's why when I got here, we read the book, The Celtic Model of Evangelism. Now, it's been 18 years. If you forgot, that's okay. But why haven't you read it? It's a great book. Read it. Read the life of St. Patrick. Find out of all the wonderful things he did. One of my favorite stories is there is a group of people who are going to kill him. So they set up in the woods. And Patrick and his community went through. And the next day they reported to their chief, the only thing we saw were deer. Wonderful things happen if you serve God. Currently, if you know anything about society, you know ours is in serious decline. There's all sorts of reasons to say that things are going to get pretty ugly in the days ahead. Benedict of Nursia lived through the decline of Rome, which was an equally disturbing time to live. And Benedict of Nursia created a community in which he offered rule. And that rule included things like morning prayer and evening prayer. That rule is what is called the Anglican way, which is, we're Anglicans. And Benedict's model for community prayer, work, and study is actually the motto of this parish. Pray, work, and study. The Benedict option is a Christian book talking about how Christians can live in the days to come. And that's the option we've done here for it at least 12 or 14 years. Benedict of Nursia had his rule has been in effect for 1,500 years. Now, I know all the really smart new people put out these books that tell you, here's how we have to deal with things. If something worked for 1,500 years, I think it's probably trustworthy. And I've been around long enough to see lots of books come out with the great new idea. Their shelf life is about, 16 weeks. Benedict Nurse is a good guy to get to know, both his personal life and his teachings. I grew up in a time where people were told, Jesus says lots of things that are kind of, iffy. Can't take them too literally. Well, Francis of Assisi was told the same thing, but he didn't pay any attention. So he sold everything he had and he lived in absolute poverty. And during a war with Islam, believe it or not, there was a time where Christians and Islamic people didn't get along. I know it's hard to believe. And Francis said, I think war is bad. But unlike us, he didn't sit around arguing on Facebook with liberals and conservatives. He walked across the battlefield. And he preached Jesus Christ to the Sultan, who was so impressed that he sent him home with a gift. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed is Francis, who is both. And blessed are you and I when we do the same. Prayer is the single most important thing in your relationship with God. And very few people know how to pray. And when they do pray and the things that are supposed to happen happen, they quit praying because they say things like, well, just this happened. And I stopped feeling God. Because we live in a culture where feeling God is the number one goal. It's the goal of services. It's the goal of church. It's the goal of every spiritual exercise. Teresa of Avila, who, by the way, was a woman in charge of multiple convents. She was a businesswoman and a really sharp lady. And she and the other women I'm about to talk about put the lie to this idea that women been oppressed forever and men just oppressed them and the church oppresses women and women can never do anything. Teresa of Avila puts the lie to that. Teresa of Avila will tell you what the journey into God looks like. And her best friend, John of the Cross, will as well. John of the Cross is famous for the words, dark night, the dark night of the soul. And they write about it because they went through it. And what they tell us is when you think you've lost God, it's probably when you finally found him. And if you want another example of that, read the life of Mother Teresa. She didn't experience God for 20 years. And spent her life with the poorest of the poor. And I got people in this church who, if they don't have a happy prayer experience, quit going to church and quit praying because there must not be a God. And she lived in darkness and changed the world. And she's a saint. And Catherine Siena was a little peasant girl, the 20th child of 22 or the 22nd of 24, I forget which. In any case, enough kids that you wonder if the parents ever remembered her name, right? And Catherine Siena, at 6 years old, told her parents, I've married Jesus. And her mystical experiences were very famous, and she was well known for giving her energies to helping poor and needy people. And oh yes, this little girl grew up into a woman who went to talk to the Pope about straightening his act up and was one of the most important, influential people in all of Europe in the 14th century. And those with no hope for politicians, William Wilberforce, a member of Parliament, ended slavery, and famously said once, one of the reasons why today didn't go so well is I only prayed for 15 minutes and I failed to do my hour of prayer. I need to pray more. And he was busy, an hour every day. And we live in fear of death. COVID, we might die. No, you know what? We're going to die. In fact, if you haven't done your funeral, here's a good source for reading. I guarantee you everyone here is going to die. It may not be COVID, it's going to be something. And Agnes, a teenage girl who is a martyr. And Polycarp, an 88-year-old man who is a martyr, teach us it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. What matters is if you love Jesus, and if you love Jesus, then you will not be afraid, you will be faithful unto death, and you will get the crown. We are all sinners here, and we are all mortal here, and we are all in communion with the saints. And we need to live that faith out in such a way that other people see our lives and say, what's going on there? What's going on there? And if you want to understand what the Bible means, read the saints and talk to the saints. And I'll end with this. St. Anthony, if you've lost stuff, that's his job. I don't understand. It's like it's a mystery. But I tell you, every time in our house we're looking for something, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, I should pray to St. Anthony. I start the prayer, and I hear the voice of my wife, I found it! Like the first time I thought it was a coincidence, the fourth time I said, I'm going to keep doing this. It would be like if I ate a pill and I could run 60 miles per hour. I would say, I don't understand how the pill works, but if I want to run really fast, I eat the pill. Talk to the saints. Have you ever asked me to pray for you? Yeah. Why would you ask me and not the Blessed Virgin Mary? Because I'm stupid. Right? Right? Talk to the saints, become friends with the saints, read the lives of the saints, read the works of the saints, learn how they lived. They're the best, they're our best hope in becoming Christian. Amen.